Update 2. Instead I thrived. I began arriving home later, not despite her, but because work was actually more pleasant than the Cold War atmosphere she'd created. I cooked my own meals, did my own laundry, made my own plan. When she'd sit in the living room, plainly anticipating I would join her and initiate some desperate conversation about fixing things, I'd head to my office or go work out. The beauty of her strategy was that it required my participation to be effective. Without my emotional reaction, it was just her being unpleasant for no apparent reason. By Thursday of that week, I could observe the fractures developing. She kept glancing at me during dinner, clearly expecting some kind of breakdown or plea for reconciliation. When I simply completed my meal and thanked her for cooking, her confusion was almost tangible. Friday evening brought the explosion. She trapped me in the kitchen and insisted on knowing why I wasn't fighting for our relationship. "Fighting for it," I repeated, leaning against the counter with genuine curiosity. "I thought you were setting boundaries. I'm respecting them. That's not—
You're supposed to."
She stopped herself, realizing she was about to admit the manipulation. "I'm supposed to what? Beg you to treat me normally. Chase after you, demanding to know what I did wrong, fall apart because you're withholding affection." Her quietness was the reply. "Here's the thing," I continued, keeping my tone conversation. "Your strategy only works if I don't recognize it as a strategy, and it definitely only works if I value your approval more than my own peace of mind." She gazed at me like I just revealed I could read her thought. "For the past 2 weeks, you've been handling our marriage like a behavioral modification experiment. The spreadsheets, the scheduled conversations, the emotional withdrawal, it's all straight out of some amateur psychology playbook." "I don't know what you're talking about," she stated, but her voice lacked conviction. "Of course you don't. That's why you keep texting your divorced friend every time one of these tactics doesn't work. That's why you have articles about training husbands in your browser history. That's why you suddenly started using phrases you never used before in your life." The color vanished from her face. "The really interesting part," I continued, "is that you seem to think I haven't noticed, like I'm some kind of lab rat who's just going to stumble through your maze without realizing there's someone moving the walls." She opened her mouth to respond, then closed it. "So, here's where we stand," I stated, straightening up. "You can proceed with your small experiment, but you're going to do it alone. I'm not participating. I'm not chasing. I'm not begging. And I'm definitely not filling out any more of your spreadsheets." That night, I heard her on the phone again, her voice more frantic than before. "It's not working," she was saying. "He's not reacting the way you said he would." The response was apparently lengthy because she listened for several minutes before saying, "Are you sure? That seems extreme. Extreme." Now things were getting interesting. The next morning, she was back to being overly sweet, making my favorite breakfast, and asking about my plans for the day. The sudden shift in tactics was so obvious, it was almost insulting. "Big change in strategy today," I asked, taking a bite of the perfectly prepared eggs. She laughed, but it sounded forced. "I don't know what you mean. I just thought it would be nice to start the weekend on a positive note." "Positive note, right?" I completed my breakfast and stood up. "Well, I appreciate the effort, but I'm not really interested in emotional whiplash. If you want to have a genuine conversation about our relationship, I'm available. If you want to continue running plays from your friend's playbook, you'll be doing it without me." As I left for my Saturday morning routine, I could see her reaching for her phone again. The conflict was intensifying, and she was about to learn that her general had been fighting the wrong kind of enemy all along. The weekend delivered reinforcements. Her divorced friend was coming over Sunday for what my wife called a girl's day, but I knew better. This was a strategy session, and I was on the verge of meeting the strategist behind the operation. Saturday night, my wife was unusually chatty, asking detailed questions about my thoughts on our relationship, and whether I felt we were making progress. The abrupt interest was clearly motivated, plainly gathering intelligence for tomorrow's consultation. "I think," I stated carefully, "that we're definitely learning a lot about each other." She smiled like she'd scored a victory, completely missing the fact that what we were learning wasn't particularly flattering for her. Sunday afternoon, the general arrived. I was in my office when I heard the doorbell, followed by an unusually loud greeting. They wanted me to know she was here. Within minutes, I could hear them settling in the living room, voices carrying just enough for me to catch fragments of their conversation. "He's being completely unreasonable," my wife was saying. "Nothing I try works anymore. Men like him need stronger boundaries," came the response. "You're being too subtle. Sometimes you have to embarrass them into compliance." "Embarrass me into compliance?" Now, we were getting to the real strategy. An hour later, my wife appeared in my office doorway. "We're going to dinner with the Johnsons tonight." I already told them we'd meet them at 7 o'clock. This was new. She'd made social commitments without consulting me, directly violating one of her own boundary rules. The hypocrisy was deliberate. "Interesting," I said, not looking up from my computer. "And this was discussed when exactly?" "I'm discussing it now. We're leaving in an hour." I could hear her friend's voice from the living room, clearly coaching her through this confrontation. "Actually," I stated, closing my laptop and giving her my full attention, "I have other plans tonight." "What plans?" "The plans I made when you were having your strategy meeting in the living room." Her confidence wavered slightly. "This is exactly what I'm talking about. You're being deliberately difficult." "No," I said, standing up. "I'm being consistent." "You want to establish rules about consulting each other before making plans. I'm following those rules. You're the one breaking them." She didn't have a response ready for that one, but here's what we're going to do, I continued. We're going to dinner with the Johnsons, and we're bringing your friend along. I think it's time I met the architect of all these new relationship strategies. The look of panic that crossed her face was worth the price of admission. The meal was a masterclass in calculated destruction. Her friend, let's call her the General, was exactly what I'd expected. Overconfident, recently empowered by her own divorce settlement, and convinced she understood all men based on her failures with two husbands. She began the evening by making pointed comments about modern women who don't settle for less than they deserve. The Johnsons appeared uneasy, clearly sensing an agenda but not understanding it. That's fascinating, I said when she finished her opening speech. And how long were you married before you figured that out? Twice, she said proudly. Both times I had to learn to value myself enough to walk away. Walk away, right? I took a sip of my wine, and now you're sharing those insights with married women. My spouse nudged me under the table, but I was just getting started. I'm curious, I went on, speaking to the General directly. What's your success rate with the advice you give? How many marriages have you actually helped strengthen? The question hung in the air. Miss Johnson was attempting very hard not to go.